right, good morning once again. Again, I pray you've been moved in the Spirit of God already. All right, that you've sensed. How many sense God's presence already today? You sense his presence. Thank God. Listen, we don't take that for granted. We need God to move. Amen. We want his presence to move. We've been focused on the Holy Spirit as we've been studying the book of Acts, going through the book, marching through the book of Acts. You could turn right now. You could turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 6. But first, the first scripture I'm going to put up is Acts 17, which we have been speaking about. This has been our kickoff scripture for the series. And this is speaking about what the apostles did in those first few years, the first few years after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. It said, these men have turned the world upside down. They changed, let's think about it, they changed humanity forever. God left this charge with just a handful of people, 120 people, about how many are in our building here today. He left it with 120 people when the Holy Spirit fell in Acts chapter 2, and we're still talking about it 2,000 years later. Amen? It all started with his presence in that moment in time. I think we can agree they did turn the world upside down, right? Turned it upside down. And here's the reality, though. Acts is still being written. The book of Acts is still going on. You're writing a story. You're part of the Acts of God. All right. Now, again, you're the one that determines how exciting that book is. Okay, you're the one that determines if it's a page turner or not. All right, because God, by His Spirit, still is looking for people that trust Him and will walk in His presence and His power to have an eternal impact. An eternal impact upon the people around them. You know, we've been studying the book of Acts because we just want to grasp the purpose and the power and how the church progressed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. And it's because, again, we look at this, the church was birthed in the worshiping and ministering power of the Holy Spirit. That's how the church began. Church gets dull and church gets boring when we forget the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? And we've all been in those moments at certain times. Okay, we forget, and we start doing things out of obligation. That's good. God is honored when people do things out of obligation. He is. However, there's a better way, and that is walking in his presence and his power. Amen? I've done both, man. I want his presence moving. I long for that to happen. Okay, again, it's walking in the Holy Spirit. That's our DNA as the Bridge City family. So today, again, we're continuing marching through the book of Acts. And today we're going to be in Acts chapter 6. And we're going to see how the Holy Spirit starts to guide them into bringing some structure and organization into the church. And again, think of it as a brand new organization. And they have no structure. So the Holy Spirit's going to lead them into this place. So we want to see how God does that. And at the end of our meeting today, we want to honor some people that help bring structure to our campus right here in Brighton Heights. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We're here in this room because of what you did 2,000 years ago. And we're still here. God, you said the Bible tells us the same Spirit that rose Jesus out of that grave is the Spirit that dwells in me. It's the same Spirit that dwells in Sean and in Dale and in Beth, in Channing. God, it's the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Father, open us up, God. We want to see and learn, God, that we can honor you as a family to bring your glory into this world. Amen? Bless God. Bless God. You know, when I enter a restaurant, and I see things just filthy, you know, the floor's filthy, the glass is filthy, the table's unclean. I start to worry what's going on in the kitchen. How about you? Right? I start to worry about, it concerns me, because I can tell there's a lack of leadership and there's a lack of structure. There's no structure happening. And I'm a little worried. I'm not a control freak. I just want to know that the person in the kitchen doesn't have to be told to wash their hands, right? But that's all I want. That's all I need to know these things. And again, when I think about Chick-fil-A, okay, and you know, it's like Jesus chicken, right? Chick-fil-A. And when you think, when you go to Chick-fil-A, when you see the lines, most of you don't go to Chick-fil-A because the lines are so long. You look at that line and say, I'm not waiting. But actually, they're probably more efficient than any other restaurant. But why is that? I mean, well, they're clean. Right? They're clean, they're consistent, and they're courteous. Clean, consistent, and courteous. That's what they are. What they have is good leadership and a very good structure. Good leadership, good structure, and they have success. Now, a restaurant that doesn't have good leadership and good structure, right, they are not going to have lasting success. They are not going to last. They will never reach their potential if they don't exercise some good leadership and have some structures to make things happen. I mean, there is a need for organization in the Church of God. I mean, when you start reading the Bible in the book of Acts, the first verse in Genesis says that God created the heavens and the earth. But the second verse says they were formless and void. God had to speak order into chaos. And that's what Genesis is about. There was disorder, but God spoke order. He spoke structure into the world itself. And so much of what leaders do at every level of any organization, whether it be a church or where you work, what leaders do is they institute, they lead people to follow structures that bring order, that make everything more efficient. That's the point. Okay, and again, so I know myself. Look, when I'm in an environment where there's no organization, no leadership, like my left eye just starts to twitch. Okay, I twitch. I can't handle it. Somebody, please take control. Bring some order into this chaos, right? Because we're never going to get the job done, and we're certainly not going to run efficient. And so for the church to be effective, for us to be effective in the mission that we're called to do, we need order. And as we look at the book of Acts and observe that the church was birthed by the Holy Spirit, right? Birthed by Holy Spirit powers. We were birthed that way. What I want to know is what structures did God give us to help the flow of the Holy Spirit? What do we need to do? What structures do we need in this context? You know, because listen, the Holy Spirit is like a locomotive that pulls all those train cars, right? That has all that power. But, you know, the locomotive only really has power if it's on rails. If you put it on the street, it's not going to go anywhere, right? And so I want to know, what's the structure? What's the rails that move the Holy Spirit? What do we have to do? What can we learn from the New Testament? And what's interesting to me is when we speak of the Holy Spirit, most of us just think in the context of like a meeting like this. You know, because here's the reality. In this room right now, there are people that just love order. Like when there's order in the meeting, when there's order and you feel secure. Like this is God honoring. Many of us were taught that order is God honoring. And so we like to have things. We know what's going to happen. And everything's going to happen in order. And that's where you want to be. We have other people in here that think the Holy Spirit should just have his way. And we don't need order. You know, we should just worship till 2 o'clock in the afternoon and then preach. You know, and we should just let it rip. Just let it go. And again, so here I am with the position that I've been given. I get to manage that tension, get to manage this tension, because the truth is in the middle. We want Holy Spirit to move, but it does need some management, and we see that in the Scripture. And that's really what we're talking about here. So I just say that again, because in this room, we have people in both camps. There are people, listen, I have people come to me and say, you know, really, shouldn't let that person talk. Shouldn't let that person prophesy. And I have other, you know, so I have that because they want more order. And I have other people saying, man, we just need to let it go. You got to let it go. Let it rip. So I get to manage that, okay? And that's one of the reasons you don't want to be an elder, okay? Because you have to make these types of decisions. And I take those very seriously. But we want the Holy Spirit to move. And I think most of you know, I mean, I want wildfire over no fire any day of the week. If we burn up a few fields that aren't supposed to be burned up, we'll fix them later, right? But we want the Holy Spirit to move. But there is a structure that we want in the family of God. I mean, think about it. Fire is a good thing. I mean, I have a gas-fired furnace. We have a gas-fired furnace in our home. I'm really thankful for that fire last night. How about you, right? When it was 10 degrees. I am thankful. See, but the fire works best when it has some structure and is controlled. A fire out of control destroys things. Right, and we have people in this room that have real testimony of destruction in their lives from fire out of control. See, but again, structure. Even fire needs some structure. So we think about the Holy Spirit moving in the meeting, but we need the Holy Spirit moving 24/7. And even as we look at the church and working of the church for the Holy Spirit to continue to move, if we aren't structuring by the wisdom of God, if we're not structuring that way, we will hinder the move of his Spirit. I don't want to do that. And I know you don't either. That's what we want to learn. So as we continue our walk through the book of Acts, we're going to see a little bit here the need of order here. And so we're going to begin in chapter 6, but I want you to think about chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. We were there last week. Remember, it was a pretty exciting chapter. People were struck dead because they lied to the Holy Spirit. Okay, that was a good start. It says that even though the people didn't understand that, you can imagine the confusion in the church. By that act of purity, by whatever was going on, the church continued to grow. It was growing. It says that miracles, supernatural miracles were happening after that happened. Okay, so you can imagine the discussions on the street. Did you hear about Ananias and Sapphira? No, I haven't seen them in a while. Where have they been? Well, they were struck dead at church, you know, last week. There's still miracles happening. There's miracles happening, and people are drawn, and they're growing. And the apostles get arrested by the Jewish leaders, thrown in jail. But this is all in chapter 5, building up to chapter 6. An angel somehow translates them out. I say translates them out because if you read the story, it says that the guards were still there in the morning. They didn't know they were gone. They were translated out. But God didn't tell them, leave the city. That's what most of us would do. The Holy Spirit lets me out, I am out. Right? If I get out of prison, send me to the next town. I can find a scripture for that even. Right? But he told them, go into the temple and continue to minister publicly. So the next day, the religious leaders find out they're not in jail, but they didn't leave. So they go and arrest them. They drag them before their court, trying to disprove who they are. They can't do that. They decide to let them go, but not until they beat them. They beat them. And then they let them go, and it ends with the apostles saying, oh, God, thank you for the honor of us being persecuted and beaten for your name. Okay? Chapter 5 is a wild chapter. I just bring that up, too, that, look, there is action and there is power. There is example of suffering and death and boldness all through the book of Acts. And the same spirit that is in them is in you. It's in you. All right, but we have this written to us to inspire us. There's inspiration here. So that's what's happening in the church. It is growing. It's growing and all these things are happening. But then chapter six happens. All these good things are happening. And let's pick it up in verse 1. It says, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, that's the apostles, called a meeting of all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. Okay, so here we have the first major problem we see in the church. See, if Satan can't stop the flow of the gospel, he'll look to divide the believers. And that's what's happening here. There is an attack to divide the family of God. The Holy Spirit's moving. People are literally coming to the kingdom of God every single day. And so what happens? Let's try to see if we can cause some division inside the house of God. And again, it's like the honeymoon phase is over. You know, they've all been together a while now. It's like, hey, we got some people being discriminated against here. And what we see here is you have two groups. You can hit that next slide, Joel. You know, we have the Hebrew-speaking believers, okay? They're all Jews, okay, both. Hebrew-speaking believers, these were Jews more inclined to embrace Jewish culture, were mostly from right in Judea, like right around Jerusalem. That's where most of them were from. Okay, the Greek-speaking believers, they were Hellenists. There's another. Some of your Bibles would use that word, the Hellenist Jews, were those Jews more inclined to embrace Greek culture and mostly were from the diaspora, which means they were dispersed, when they were dispersed in past persecution, right? And they spoke Greek. To put it simply, and this is oversimplification, but just to catch this, it's like the Hebrew-speaking Jews would be more the traditionalists. They were the traditionalists, and they felt these Greek-speaking Jews were compromisers because they were in Greek culture, okay? And the Greek-speaking Jews looked at the Hebrew-speaking Jews like they were narrow-minded, holier-than-thou traditionalists. All right, that's what's happened. There's really it's an ethnic problem here, right? And it obviously it's threatening to upset the church. But we think about, listen, those same kind of things happen today still. We still have issue in the church, and I think we always will because we're all flesh and blood. Where there's most always some level of tension between those that are older and those that are younger in a church. All right? Amen. Speaking from an older guy, yeah. Like I said, there's tension. I mean, usually when we're older, older people tend to think that younger people don't want to hear anything they have to say, and they just want change for the sake of change. And younger people, quite often, again, it's like, well, I don't feel they really have much to offer. Their ship has sailed. You know, the things have changed. You know, and I said, so we have that. There's a tension. There's a tension that has to be managed between young and old. We have a tension in the church between those who want to do outreach and let's reach out and touch the lost, and those who say, let's take care of the people here, right? And again, I think if we can look at both of those, we can say, you know, they're both right. We need to reach the lost. We got to take care of people, right? We recognize that even as older and younger, we all got something to bring to the table. And again, let's throw another one. People who want the Spirit to have free reign, and those who want to keep the Spirit in a box. Okay, we have these. We have the exact same tensions today that want to divide us, want to divide the church, and thwart the Holy Spirit from having His way, from having power in the church. I want to be in a house that the power of God flows, not just in here on Sunday, but outside. That's what we want. That's what we're looking for in our context here. Okay, so these Hellenist Jews, the Greek-speaking Jews, perceived their needs were not being met. Just flip back one scripture there, back to verse 1. Okay, it said, so we know, again, this type of contention continues to happen. And the main contention here, if you look at this, is somebody saying, my needs aren't being met, and theirs are. My needs aren't being met, but someone else's is, and that's not fair. That's not right. And again, think about this. Satan loves to use unintentional wrongs to divide us. Unintentional. Things done unintentionally. And we want to make something bigger out of it. I mean, we're prone to do this in our flesh. Right? Now listen, you do have, there are times we are hurt and there's things we have to adjust, but you're not allowed to divide people over it. That's what I learned from the text also. We can't. Yeah, well, look, we deal with it. We're going to deal with things properly. If I have not offended you yet in Bridge City, you just haven't been here long enough, okay? Stick around. I'll disappoint you in some way, all right? I'm sure I will. Like, because I'm human. I'm human, right? So he said, so these things are going to happen. And here's another thing. Look, just no extra charge. When you feel slighted by somebody, it's not that they're not thinking about you when they hurt you. They're just thinking about themselves. I mean, they're not thinking about you. They're not out to get you. They're just thinking about themselves. I'm not saying that's right, but it's unintended. And so much hurt and division in the church is caused by things that are unintended, right? So we're gonna grow through that, right? We agree. We're not gonna let those things happen. So let's get back in to the stuff they pay me to do here. All right. So this thing had the potential to divide the church, right? We have first major rift. So what do we learn here? What do we learn? Well, we see that, again, what's the problem? Well, I believe the problem is ethnic at its core. It's ethnic. You got two types of Jews, and they're upset with one another. Okay, they're angry. But the solution was really quite practical. It was food distribution. So again, so the disciples are starting to see we need to divide the labor. We can't be doing everything. They can't be leading everything. There needs to be a division of labor here. And I, right now, as I was to say, it's not a stretch to say this is the initiation, shall we say, of diaconate ministry. Now diaconate ministry, we're getting a definition of diaconate. Deacon is one who serves. A waiter of tables is a literal way it speaks of. And we see that. There's a diaconate ministry that we're going to talk about in 1 Timothy officially. It's not mentioned here, but this is really the beginning. This is the beginning of setting up diaconates, serving ministries to help carry out the flow of the church. When the Holy Spirit fell in Acts chapter 2, you know, and they spilled into the street and 3,000 people get saved, they didn't have any resources at that point. There was no money to manage. There was nothing to manage. Now listen, they got money to manage. And usually when you have money to manage, problems start to follow. Okay, so with that money, now they need a way to dispense that money. How are we going to distribute that money? Okay, so there's a need. There's a need for people to take control of these things that the apostles aren't doing all these things. Right? And And said, so we got to just grab the tension that's happening. They don't have anybody to run anything. So we need to recognize that we have people who need to do this. And this word distribution, it says here, which verse is it in? Verse 1. They were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking players saying the widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. That word distribution is one of the root words of deacons, of diaconi. All right. So again, we see that there. Okay. We need somebody to help with this serving as we go forward. Let's look at verse 3. It says, So brothers, the apostle said this, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Okay, the answer was to build some structure with the right people. With the right people. You can't overlook here. It says that even the deacons, even those in charge of these things, need to be full of the Holy Spirit. There needs to be evidence that these people are filled with the Spirit of God. They recognize the power of God and they're willing to walk in the power of God. And then there's practical wisdom that they have. There's practical wisdom. So those standards are something we need to see. We need to recognize that this is what is happening. And it says that they need to do this so they can spend their time in prayer and teaching the word. What's really, really unique here, hit that next slide, is the word. No, go forward. Here, the verse 1, distribution of food and teaching of the word. Distribution and teaching are the exact same word. Exact same word. They're both words of serving. They're both, see, that's the same. That's what I want you to catch. It's the same word. Everybody has the same value. Tim, who leads our ushers, has just the same value as I do. Right? And everybody's value is the same. We're all servants. We're just servants here. Right? It's exact same word. You guys serve that way, so we can serve this way. Right? That's what's happening. That's the point. So in our context here at Bridge City, in our context, we have team leaders. We have team leaders of ministries. That's our diaconate. Okay, we don't use the word diaconate, but that's our diaconate. They're people who have authority, and they have a responsibility. And as long as they're serving in that place, they're serving in a diaconate ministry. They're a team leader. Okay, they have the responsibility that lasts as long as they're serving. You know, their goal is to lead other people, not for them to do everything, but to lead other people to help fulfill that responsibility, that we can continue to allow the Holy Spirit to flow. That's what we want, everybody doing their part. We really want to fight the principle that you see in churches, a sad principle of 20% of the people do 80% of the work. We want to be a 100 principle. 100% of the people do 100% of the work. Amen? That's what we want. That's where we should be. And so our team leaders, that's what they do. They're not here to do it all, right? They're called to help. But all ministry is ministry, whether you're helping feed the poor or teach from the pulpit. It's all ministry. Let's go on here. Verse 5. Everyone liked this idea. Now, that's amazing in any church when everybody likes the idea. Okay. And so they chose these following people. In verse 6, it says, these 7 were presented to the apostles who prayed for them, laid their hands on them. Okay. So it said, they got these guys. They were presented before them. Everyone agreed these guys should do it. We're going to pray for them and set them in. So the apostles laid hands on them and prayed for them. And that's what we're going to do today. At the close here, at the close of our meeting, we're going to call all of our team leaders up front. And we're going to gather around them. We just want to pray for them. We want to bless them for what they do. Does that sound like a good idea? See, we want to honor everybody. Everybody should be honored. And we have people that serve. We want to honor them and let them know we appreciate everything that they're doing. Okay. So just catch what happened in the text. In verse 1, there was a major problem. Instead of it becoming divisive, what has happened? Well, they listened to the Holy Spirit. They got wisdom on how to organize. They got men filled with the Spirit and wisdom. They brought them before the whole church. They prayed, and the problem was solved. The Hellenistic Jews are okay. The Hebrew-speaking Jews are okay, and they can go forward. And if we read on, the Holy Spirit continues to move. The devil wanted to cause division. Didn't work. Isn't that good news? The church continued to grow. Verse 7. Says, so God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and even some of the Jewish priests were getting converted. major things going on, big things continuing to happen in this context. So, again, the devil's strategy did not work. Now, we're going to flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 3, because I just want to look here at deacons specifically. Because, again, this is part of God's structure that he put in, that the church operates well, that the Holy Spirit is not hindered. And Paul is writing here in Timothy. This is his book, and he's writing to Timothy, and he's, again, speaking about order in the church. And he says that he just talked about elders. He says, in the same way, deacons must be well-respected, have integrity. Look at this. Respected, have integrity, not be heavy drinkers or dishonest with money. Committed to the mystery of the faith now revealed, and must live with a clear conscience. Okay, this is deacons. Same word that we had before, a minister, an attendant, a waiter. Okay, that's, again, next slide. Just breaking these down. This is how you know someone can be a deacon. Okay, first, so they respect it. Reverence, showing proper respect towards God and man. Okay, people being used, whether it be eldership or deacons, should be respected inside the church and outside. And outside. Your reputation matters. So you're recognized in the house of God as a leader. Okay, your reputation outside the house matters. And some of you are thinking that disqualifies you because of things from the past. All right, God can forgive those things. The thing is, what's your testimony today? What's happening today? But respect. I mean, there's a respect that should be there. Integrity, not double tongued, not deceitful. A man who tells the truth. A man whose yes is yes, right? That's what we're looking for. Someone of integrity. Okay, go on. Heavy drinker, not given to too much wine. Not using vices as an escape or being under the influence. Again, in Scripture, we cannot say, that the New Testament does not say not to have alcoholic beverages. It doesn't say that. And we're not into making laws that aren't in the Bible. Okay, there are enough commands that God has for us to do. Okay, there's wisdom here. It says here, again, you can't be given to this. And here's the biggest thing I just want to say to this, is you can't let your liberty cause someone else to stumble. Okay, one of the things that we've made clear here, like as a church family, in any church event, whether it be a connection group, a church picnic, you will never find alcohol. You're never going to find alcohol. Why? Because we are not going to use liberty that you have to cause someone else to fall. All right? I've seen it happen before. We're not going to do that, all right? So again, we're not making a law against it, but we will not allow our liberty to cause someone else to stumble. Let's go on. Next slide. Not dishonest with money, not greedy for it. An honest person, an honest man, all right? Be honest with your finances and look back to Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. See what happens if you aren't. Okay. Holding the mystery of the faith, those who can adhere to proper doctrine, knowing doctrine, holding fast to it, knowing what you believe, have some sincere conviction about it. That's the examples that we have of how we recognize a deacon. Now, one thing, just flip back, Joel, to the scripture. Flip back to the scripture there. Okay, if we look at this, respected, integrity, not a heavy drinker, is there anything in this list that every believer in this room shouldn't adhere to? Is there anything here that you would say is like a really high standard? Or should everyone who's been saved for 2 weeks be able to do this? Right? See, so again, I want you to catch that. I want you to catch it. I mean, this is not what I would call a high standard. This is what I would call a responsible human being. All right? So again, but we can measure ourselves to this standard. We can measure ourselves. Am I one that's respected inside and outside the house? Do I walk with integrity? Right? Am I that person? Okay. And again, how am I with money? And so on. See, we can all measure ourselves by this, and it will help us as we go forward. Let's go to verse 10. It's 1 Timothy 3:10. It says, before they are appointed as deacons, let them be closely examined with those standards. Closely examine them. If they pass the test, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives must be respected and must not slander others. Okay, some of you are waiting to see how I handle this one. They must exercise self-control and be faithful in everything they do. A deacon must be faithful to his wife. He must manage his children and household well. Okay, this is a fun one, huh? Okay. So what is going on here? First, except we get to the part about it being closely examined. In the same way, their wives must be respected and must not slander others. Okay. Deacon must be faithful to his wife. And we look at this and say, well, can there be female deacons, deaconesses? All right, that's an honest question. Okay, what do we do with this? I mean, a husband of one wife is the way some of them would read. And, you know, there's a problem here. But honestly, when we really look at the full text of Scripture, there's not. And that is why we can't just cherry-pick Scriptures and make doctrines. If we look at Romans chapter 16, the first verse, it refers to Phoebe. Romans chapter 16, the first verse, refers to Phoebe. And it says that Phoebe is a deaconess. It refers to her as a deacon. Okay? Romans was written at least several years before Timothy. They were both written by the same guy. They were both written by Paul. Now, I'm not going to try to figure out why did he say this in this context. You know, why did he say this? I don't get it. Why is he talking to the women specifically about not being slanderers and having self-control? You ladies decide that, okay? You decide what that means, okay? But he does call them out for that, But I want you to know that, again, when we really look at the full context of Scripture, there were female deacons. There were. And it was mentioned before this by Paul, the same one who wrote this. All right? So, simple enough. If you want to discuss that more, come and talk to me after the meeting. All right? So it said, so as we look at this, okay, let's go forward there, Joel, real quick. All right? Again, they're told to be examined the same way their wives, respected, not slanderers, property and self-control, faithful. Next slide. Managing the household, that's for men and women. Money, children that are in order, show respect, not controlling the household. Children not control the household. That's a big deal. You know, again, managing children going forward. All right, so that's what I want you to catch here. That's what we see here with deacons. Let's go on. Next slide. Look at this. This is what I like here. It says, those who do well as deacons will be rewarded with respect from others and will have increased confidence in their faith in Christ Jesus. Those who do well will be rewarded. And as I mentioned before, we want to honor people. I want us to honor the people that faithfully serve behind the scenes, faithfully serve and give their time and their effort, their very souls to this quite often. And right now I said, Joel, if you could put up that list of all our team leaders, and I want these team leaders to come forward. I want to come on up, we'll just stand up front. Okay, we have campus admin, I'm going to read through it, Bridget Jackson, usher coordinator Tim Luther and Sam, welcome team coordinator, okay, which is our first impressions, Doug Shear. Facilities coordinator, Derek Jackson. Connection point coordinator, Leanne Shear. Events coordinator and hospitality coordinator, Cricket Paladin. Campus worship leader, Aaron Dovey. Media tech coordinator, Joel Paladin. Audio tech coordinator is also Derek. Next steps coordinator, Wayne Neuf. A-team coordinator, Kristen Devereaux. Response team coordinator, Connor McLaughlin. Children's admin, Bridget. Community Connections Coordinator, Joe Carney and Rusty Finnegan. Okay, these are all people, most of them are here, all right, who serve. They serve you, and they serve the family of God that the Holy Spirit can flow in a more effective fashion. Amen? Amen. Listen, so what I want us to be able to do is, first I said, I mean, we could be here, I could be here for an hour telling you the good things about all of them. But what I want us to be able to do is honor them by blessing them and praying for them. So what I'm going to ask, if you feel so led, okay, and feel comfortable coming forward, I want you to come up and just gather around them. And if you guys, Derek, spread out to the wall, all right? And I want you, listen, I want us to bless them, okay? This is the family. So here, like, get out of your seats, come up, just I want you to bless them. You're just going to stand in front of them, extend your hand, just speak blessing. Aren't you glad that people are willing to serve this way? Aren't you glad that people are saying, I'm willing to do that, okay? Amen. That's right. Brian has to stand in front of his wife. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Come on up. I said, anybody, you can come on up. Don't be bashful. Come on up. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for people that are willing to serve. Willing to serve. Okay, come over this way. Here, come head this way so people can just spread out. Just spread out across the front. Keep going. Spread out. Okay? Because we just want to speak blessing. Don't you appreciate what they do? Amen. So let's just, again, what we want to do right now, if you're at your seat, just stretch an arm out. Not because it's magic. It just signifies that I agree. And right now, Father God, we just lift up, Lord, this team. Just start to speak blessing on them. Just speak blessing. You can do it. Do it quietly. But speak blessing on them. Speak blessing. Speak blessing on this team. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Pour it out. Pour it out. Pour out your presence. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Speak blessing. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Just let me just lead at this point, Father. We just ask, God, that everybody up front here, all these leaders, God, that they sense the appreciation we have for them. Let them sense, God, appreciation. Father God, let your presence just descend. Let your presence descend, God. Just let them fill them, God, with assurance of who they are. God, thank you, Father God. Again, Lord Jesus. Father God, anoint. Increase anointing. Give them creativity in what they're doing, God. But Lord, strengthen them. Let them sense your pleasure and our pleasure in them. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Can you give them a hand? Because they certainly deserve it. Amen. Just, you guys, the team, just turn around, just face me. Those who are serving, just turn around. I just want to read this scripture to all of us. This is out of Ephesians. This is out of the book of Ephesians, Paul's writing. And he says this, said when Larissa was exhorting us today, she used verse chapter 1 and 3. I'm reading out of verse 2. It says this. It says, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That's what the church is built on. But listen, it says, Christ Jesus is a cornerstone in whom the whole building being fit together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. And you're being built together into a dwelling of God in spirit. In other words, as we structure properly, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells. As we serve, as everyone takes their part seriously, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells. The Holy Spirit is released in a greater way. Amen? See, structure releases the Holy Spirit. It doesn't control it. All right? And so we have a structure. We want to release His Spirit. And so thankful again for Derek taking a lead on the building and serving so faithfully with sound. And Bridget is really, my wife has my heart. Bridget has my brain. Okay? She keeps me in square. Wayne and Chris have been with us since, Chris was here since 91, I believe. And she dragged Wayne along. And no, that's not true. He wanted to be here. But Wayne served so faithfully in Next Steps. Sam is leading the ushers at this team. We know the leadership gifts he has. Thank you, Tim. Tim has been the head usher in this building since late 1997. So, faithful servant. Faithful servant. Aaron, serving as worship leader for I don't know how many years. You don't know either. Amen. Okay. Gifted, though. Gifted. Doug, campus apprentice, serving with our welcome team and always a connection group leader. Leanne, doing connection point, the one helping keep us all organized and focused. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Kristen, new to the team. Okay. Coming in as an A-team coordinator, helping move people as they go through next steps into the various ministry teams. Joel, faithfully doing media up there. You know, when all those things are on time, right? During the songs, don't you appreciate that? Okay, thank you. And Joe and Rusty with mainly food distribution. That food distribution that we're doing, it is so effective. These brothers just serve. And you got people serving. These are just the leaders. We have many people serving. But I want to honor all of you. We want you honored. Appreciate what you're doing. When you do what you do, the Holy Spirit flows in a greater way. Amen? Let's give them one more hand. You guys can be seated. And again, just want to make you aware that we do have some positions that aren't filled at this juncture in time. You can ask about that. But as we close, though, listen, the big thing I think at the moment is, first, weigh yourself against that list. Am I one who meets the qualifications? Because if you don't, there's an issue. Because those are basic issues of believers. We should be walking in this reality. And also, recognize things are by the Holy Spirit. We have these things. We have people ministering that the Holy Spirit can move in a freer way, a greater way. You know, because again, if I'm not concerned about all these other things going on Sunday morning, I also can focus on what God has me to do, right? We see that. And again, be aware, the reason we do connection groups. Why? Because we want to see you grow, that you can walk in a greater place in God. Right? That's why we do Growth Track, that you could find God in a deeper way and walk in the power of His Spirit. Everything is about setting you up that you can be fulfilled in God. And someday, you know, Chuck is going to stand before God, and Dawn is going to stand before God, and Brian's going to stand before God, and he's going to say, well done, well done. I gave you things to do and you did them. That's what we want to hear. That's what I desire for you to hear as your pastor. Amen? Now listen, we're going to end the meeting here. If you have any needs at all, you come forward. We'll be able to pray for you. And again, let the Spirit of God move. Let's go and share what we have by the power of His Spirit. Be sure to check out the connection groups on your way out. Sign up for Growth Track. You're dismissed.